Good morning, New Hope Church. It's good to be with you here today. It's good to just worship our great God and Savior together. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Matthew. I'm part of the ministry team here. And welcome, if you're a guest, as was said earlier by Pastor David, welcome to you. We're just thrilled you're here. This is a special day for a variety of reasons, one of which is there's a chair for me. And so my friend and one of our just beloved ministry partners, Chris Jones. Chris is just right over here. Chris and I have been traveling for the past couple weeks in Southwest Asia, in Azerbaijan and in Georgia. We got back yesterday afternoon, and so I thought the chair would help me keep from falling over or falling asleep. If I start slurring my speech, let me know, because right now I think it's about 8 in the evening, so my body is telling me that anyway. But then the other reason I've got the chair is we're going to see a video here in a few minutes, and I just want to be able to sit while we all watch that together. And so we're going to do that here in just a bit. Let me acknowledge, besides just how grateful I am to be back home to this church family that I love so much, let me acknowledge that in this weekend, today, officially, but tomorrow in a more set apart way is Veterans Day, right? And so if you're a veteran here, would you stand up right now? Would you please stand up? And we want to honor you. Everybody that's a veteran. Yeah. We are so grateful for who you are and for your service to our country. I was thinking here this past couple days as I was flying home, I was thinking about this, and I was reminded of my great-great-great-grandfather, Joniah Franklin St. John. He volunteered for the Army of Ohio during the Civil War. And so I grew up in the South, so my Southern family and friends, they don't like this very much because he was part of William Tecumseh Sherman's army that drove right down through Georgia and burned Atlanta, all right? And I've got these letters, these handwritten letters where he's telling all about his experiences on this journey. And I'm so thankful for his service to our country. I'm thinking about my dad. My dad was in the Army, military police officer, actually was a guard for President Johnson when Johnson would go out to his ranch in Texas. My dad and his police, his military police unit were part of the security for all that. My wife's daddy, 94-year-old, just a great, great patriarch in our family. He was a tail gunner on a B-25 in the South Pacific, World War II, Marine. In fact, both her brothers are Marines. So her family, dad and brothers, Marines, they're a tough family. I'm taller than all of them, so that helps me. They're short. I'm taller. That makes me feel like I have something on them. They're tough now. They're a tough crowd, and Chris is just like them. Boy, she's tough. My great uncle was the commanding general of the Walter Reed Army Medical Center, a guy named Clement St. John. I mean, so I have a family that has deep roots in serving our country, and I could go on and on, and all of us can tell stories similarly. So you veterans, you matter. Thank you, thank you. Can we just let them know one more time how grateful we are? Now, as Pastor David said earlier, this is also globally recognized as the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And it doesn't miss my attention that one of the reasons, by God's grace, that we don't experience persecution in our country like so many other places is because of the very men and women that just stood up. Is that right? Because of their faithfulness and willingness to serve our land, serve our country. And so thank you again. The International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church is a time to just pause. This is actually one of the other reasons I wanted to sit down, because I wanted to set a tone of reflection and some measure of intimate reflection. We want to take a few minutes today and talk about the realities of the persecution that Christians experience around the world. Now, we've done this before. We try to address these things, acknowledge these things. In fact, we have a whole group of people here at New Hope Church that their ministry at New Hope Church is to help all of us think about this stuff quite regularly. And as was said, they've got a table outside. They've got all kinds of resources there. We'll talk about more of that in a bit. There's so much we could say. What we're going to do today is lean into one personal story, very real story from someone that some of us know. And in a world where we can talk on and on about this, we just want to identify something real personal. And we'll share that here in a moment. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for our time together, for this beloved church family called New Hope Church. We give you all praise that Christ is the center, that Christ is the head, that Christ is the foundation, Christ is the cornerstone of this church family, of our lives. We want to exalt Christ with every breath we take. We do this through the power of the Spirit of God, and we praise you, O Father, for the Spirit of God who knits our hearts together as one united family and who helps us to see the things that cause your heart to beat. Be with us now as we spend time in your word and reflecting some of the realities of persecution around our world today. May we lean in with attentiveness and with tender hearts and minds. In the name of Jesus and all of God's people said, amen. So we have been in the Sermon on the Mount here for most of the fall. And God willing, we will continue to be in the Sermon on the Mount in the many months that are ahead of us. There will be a few exceptional things like during our Christmas season and so forth. But we're spending the next several months in this Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the Gospel of Matthew. Now right now, we're in the very front end of this great sermon. I'm actually thinking I'd like to preach a sermon that would go on for several chapters and many months, just one sermon. This is what Jesus seems to have done. He did it, I'm sure, in an afternoon, but we're going to take that afternoon sermon and turn it into this long exploration. And the front end of it is what's called the Beatitudes, and there Jesus unpacks these ways in which we receive blessing. Things like, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be made, or they shall receive mercy, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, and so forth. And we've looked in depth at these. Today, Matthew chapter 5, verses 10, 11, and 12 speaks to persecution. Blessed are those who are persecuted. In fact, here's what the text says. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 and following, Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of God from our dear and precious Savior. When we look at the word persecuted there, it seems reasonable to pause a moment and understand what is behind that word. When Jesus uses that word, how would it have been understood in his day and age? And therefore, how might we understand it? And it means maltreatment. It means to cause someone to suffer. It has this idea of creating trouble, to cause pain, to pursue pain, to pursue trouble, to pursue suffering. And it can be for an individual or it can be for a community or a people as a whole. It can include death, but it might just be emotional pain or social pain or some sort of spiritual trauma. It can include all those things that make for personal trouble. And that's what's behind the word persecute or persecuted there. there in the passage. Now, in the New Testament, there are a handful of passages that speak to persecution. I won't look at all of them, obviously, but let me just highlight a few. One of them, actually, we see in Matthew chapter 5, later in the chapter, and God willing, here after the holidays, we get into the winter, we will dive into this part of the Sermon on the Mount more fully, so we will revisit this particular verse. But for now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says this. Jesus says, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who create trouble for you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Pray for those who want you to suffer. And love them is the first part of that. Now, again, we can look throughout all of the New Testament, the Old Testament for that matter, but just a couple places. In John chapter 15, this is the night in which Jesus was betrayed. He offers these words. He says to his disciples, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Followers of Christ should expect to be persecuted. Romans chapter 12 finds the Apostle Paul offering some commentary on this. Romans chapter 12, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. That's a big demand right there. Bless those who cause you trouble. Bless them, don't curse them. The Apostle Paul also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, these words, verse 7 and following. We have this treasure in clay jars to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Through the power of God, this is true. The Apostle Peter, in his work, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, actually let's look at verse 12, says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Now verse 13, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. That's the same word in the ancient language for the persecution I'm talking about. That you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. So here we have in the New Testament this idea that with regard to persecution, we should be blessing those who hurt us, praying for them, rejoicing in it because it glorifies Christ and we enter into Christ's suffering. This is radical stuff, friends. And I say regularly here that one of the things that God wants us to know is it is the burden of God to keep raising the bar in our lives so we don't settle for cheap values. Like it's one thing to love the friends who love you, but what about loving your enemies? It's one thing to be nice to those who are kind to you, but what about blessing those who cause you suffering? Christ is always raising the bar for us. That's the way life works in his kingdom. Now, I could share with you numerous anecdotes, details from the Christian world about suffering, about persecution. Let me just give you a couple highlights here. There are at least 50 countries around the world, the top 50 countries that are known for persecuting Christians. By far and away, the number one country that persecutes Christians the most is the country of North Korea. North Korea. For 18 years in a row, it has been the number one country for persecution against Christians in the world. North Korea. A country that we hear a lot about in the news right now is the country of Iran. Iran is ninth on that list. It's ninth in the country, or in the world, in terms of persecution of Christians. Chris and I, my dear friend Chris Jones and I, we were just in Azerbaijan a day or so ago for the past several days. It is actually number 50 on that list. It is the fifth. It rounds up the top 50 in terms of persecution of Christians. And within those 50 countries, starting with North Korea, going all the way to Azerbaijan, Within those 50 countries, listen to me, there are 245 million Christians, many of whom are experiencing intense persecution, especially those countries that are on the top of the list. 1 in 9 Christians globally will experience persecution. 1 in 9. All right? And just last year, around 4,000 Christians were killed because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Just last year. As far as we know. That's documented, as far as we know. And we could share stories of persecution. We could talk about, we could spend hours here talking about many dramatic stories. But what we want to do instead is introduce you to a man named Reza. Reza is an Iranian man. His ethnicity is Azerbaijani. He has lived in Iran, but was forced to flee Iran, really for not only his life, but largely for the life of his family. His family, because of his faith in Christ, his family was being harassed, and it became evident that perhaps one of the best things is for him to try to sneak out of the country and just get away to safety. We have Reza's story here, and I want you to lean in and listen. I want you to work through the thick English accent. I want you to listen. I want you to see the humility in his face, the joy in his heart. Let's just watch this together. It's up here on the screen. A few minutes.
My name is Reza. I am from the Azerbaijani part of country of Iran. I came to know our Lord Jesus first time by reading a New Testament copy and reading through that. The sermon of Jesus upon Mount really touched my heart and was my first meeting with the Lord through his word. All Christians needs to have some sort of, meeting that Peter had with the Lord after his resurrection by the seashore, and he asked 3 times Peter really if he loves him. And for me, like the time of persecution and prison I had in the country of Iran was something like that fire with coal, like the Peter had with Jesus, and it changed all course of my life walking with the Lord. Yeah, as a person who was in business and ministry at the same time back in the country of Iran, doing Bible smuggling, working with the underground networks, still I needed my theology to be fixed. And I think when the persecution came, I really understand what it means to love the Lord and what it means to love his people. And I understand to set my eyes in heaven and in his kingdom 100% rather than putting, a few percent of my desire or just building my own kingdom. And that was the things, helped my theology change, helped my whole Christian life changed. When I was arrested and I faced, that first day 3 times that I was close to die, 2 times I was close to be shot by a government official, and 1 time while they cut it our way, made an accident, I really faced death, and it could have been my last day in the face of the earth. But Lord kind of saved me from that, and today the days I have here, I think it's just a gift from him that he wants me 100% to commit myself to him and his kingdom. The experience I had, for instance, in the time of prison, in the time of interrogations, I remember one of the guys, high rank officials, approached me and he said, I have a question for you. And he told me, what is written in this book you're trying to distribute, because they arrested me because of distributing New Testament copies. What's written in here that makes you to come here into a bunch of villages and do this? And you know, I told him, the thing came to my mind was immediately from Sermon of Jesus upon the Mount, because that was kind of the foundation of my faith. I said, just Lord Jesus, teach us here, love your enemies, love everybody, including like the people who slashes on your face, you know, just turn the other side, you know, to them. And the officer told me one thing, and I never forgot it. He said, just, but I slashed you on face so many times before this, and you were trying to stop me doing that, you know, and then why you didn't let me slash you at the other side of your face? And it was just simply one answer came to my mind, you know, and it's also according what Jesus promised. He said, just don't worry what you're going to tell, you know, Holy Spirit will help you with that. I told him, you know, as a human, I have a body, I experience pain, I experience fear, but yes, of course, when you try to slash me on the face, I try to stop it because it's painful. But I told him, you know, what Jesus says means this. You slashed me so many times in face. You put me here with a broken leg. And I don't hate you in my heart, you know. Like, that's what Jesus means, you know. I pray for you. I pray for your family. I pray your eyes will be open. And you get all the blessings, you know, from the Lord. You get the salvation. And I saw the impact of, you know, just pure word from the gospel, how that affects him. He was kind of, you know, put his head down, leave me, and never come back to me again until I left that department of secret police. Yeah, after all that days, you know, spending in the prison and all the experience, you know, I had, like reading the word is one thing, but living this is another thing. And I think just the hard times will help you to understand that. I was getting ready to flee the country. I was not able to walk properly that time, but somehow that shows me God's faithfulness, how he helped me to flee my country. But the night I had to leave the country, it was a very difficult night for me because I had all these things in my mind. Okay, I'm going to leave my country, I'm going to lose my status as a citizen in this country. I'm going to leave, you know, the house I put there as bail, you know. I'm going to lose all the businesses I have, everything, my family, you know, like parents, everybody behind, and I can't go back to my country. I didn't even know if I can make it out of border or not, but if I made it, then I was going to lose everything. And that part of the world, you know, speak to my heart. Jesus says, if you leave everything behind, if you leave your parents, your family, your property, everything for my sake, that I'm going to give you the eternal life. I'm going to give you the 100 times more whatever you lost, plus sufferings will be with you. And that was exactly the kind of answer of what I was asking from the Lord. And as soon as I got that part of the word, I decided, okay, I'm going to leave. And it was beginning of a new journey for me. I left everything behind, but during the years, God has shown me his faithfulness and how he delivers the promise he gives us, you know. And I try to understand. If I was going to, you know, not follow the Lord and keep my family, I was going to lose it. But now I have it. If I was going just to keep my property, I was going to lose it. But today, God 100 times more blessed me, you know, with the family, you know, with the church family here, with the ministry here, much more ministry here, possibility to reach nations. And he blessed me with the citizenship here, you know, all miraculously he provided for me. Plus, I know I have eternal life, but also I face all the sufferings. But I remember also one thing, you know, he says, if you share in my sufferings, you will share in my glory as well. I think that two things was really great things I learned. God is faithful to whatever he says in his word. And also, if we are willing to share in his sufferings, we are sharing in his glory as well. Yeah, I encourage you as the body of Christ, as Christians, you know, in different part of the world, you know, that to understand, you know, whatever is in Word of God, all the promises has given to us is real, and God is faithful to all of this. I encourage that we don't just live our life according to the media, according to the all things, you know, like society around us wants to push, you know, into our lives. When we, when as Christians, you know, we see the media and the reality that wants to show us around us, we are thinking as Christians we are losing the ground, you know. But Lord is doing something great, you know, through all the things we think are can be threat, you know, for our lives. But He turns all that to opportunity for His kingdom. Then I encourage us, all of us, you know, to understand He is faithful. To understand each word, you know, came, you know, in Bible is for us to live, and to understand, you know, His kingdom is behind us with its fullness. And if His desire, you know, turns to be our desire, like His desire is nations, if that's our desire, you know, everything, you know, is going to serve that desire, you know, like let's just, you know, obey Him with His command of, you know, just go out and make disciples of the nations. And also let's understand if suffering comes through this, you know, standing for our faith, that to know that if we shared in sufferings, we will share in His glory also.
So Chris Jones and I were with Reza just a few days ago when he did this video to share with us here at New Hope Church. And we were up in the country of Georgia. So ultimately, Reza fled to the land of Georgia. And this is in Southwest Asia, the Caucasus region of the world. Former Soviet republics, for those of you familiar with that history. And actually, I had the opportunity to speak at a training center that Reza now runs there in Georgia. And the folk participating in that are all Iranian Christians that have come up to get trained so they can then go back and resource what is the fastest growing church in the world right now. You may not know this. The fastest growing church in the world is the Iranian church. And I would submit that it is in large measure because of the persecution within that country. And I mentioned that I did that training with them simply to let you know, some of you know I'm on social media, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all this. If you're not on there, that just means you get to sleep well at night. But the fact is, you know, I post a lot of what I'm doing from day to day and the things I'm a part of, but you'll notice nothing was posted about visiting with those folk because of the security issues for them. They're very concerned, rightly so, for their own well-being. Reza was willing to share this with us as a church family, and I'm thankful for that. He runs this center now. So what God has done is move him from the trouble that he was in there in Iran to a place where he can now serve the Iranian church in a far more strategic way, sending people back in to Iran and or among Iranian people far and wide to help them know Christ. There are plenty of stories, even from these past few days when Chris and I were in Georgia and Azerbaijan. So, for example, when we were in Baku, Azerbaijan, we had the privilege of teaching for a few nights at one of the local churches there. And as sometimes happens, each evening people would come up and they'd want us to pray with them and just talk to them about whatever things were on their hearts and mind. And this one woman came up to me and she said, "Would you please pray for me?" And I said, "Of course I would. Help me know your story. Tell me your story." And she began to share a little bit of her story, where she's from, when she came to Christ, and this sort of thing. And she made a comment, just it seemed like a throwaway statement because she said it so fast, and in the end, it was one sentence. She's telling me some of her personal background. She said, "Yeah, and I worked at this Christian bookstore, the only Christian bookstore in our entire country. I worked there until the men showed up with the knives and tried to kill me." And then she went on to talk about something else. I mean, she might as well have said she went to Target to buy groceries. I mean, she made it seem so simple, so easy. And then there was another man that we had a chance to listen to who had been in prison, the infamous Evin prison in Iran. Some of you have heard of this, one of the most notorious prisons in the world. And in the midst of this, he was there because of his Christian faith. In the midst of this prison, he was part of helping other believers in Christ worship together. And they were serving communion together and really trying to expand or advance the kingdom of God, even in the darkness, which is one of the most notorious prisons on earth. Right there in the face of all the folk that otherwise are out to destroy them. Talked to another man who was a ministry leader in Azerbaijan, and he'd stepped away from the country for a period of time, was heading back in, and they wouldn't let him back in because of the unique ministry he was having with somebody, and the government found out, and people talked, and next thing you know, they block him from coming back in the country, and these things, we heard this stuff over and over again, and what struck me, like with Reza, is there was a joy, there was a peace. There's not a dramatization of their persecution. It is so much a part of the way of the life of a disciple that for them, what is there to dramatize? This is the way it is when you follow Christ. And that's so different than I think the way our mindset can so often be here in the United States, where we're prone to dramatize and hype. And for them, this is part of just walking with Christ. Here's what I'd like to ask you to do. It's three things, very simply. I want you to pray for the persecuted church, for persecuted Christians. I want you to think about adopting a nation to pray for. While there, just 3 or 4 days ago, Chris and I went down to the border, the Azerbaijani-Iranian border. We stood right there at the border. Some of you may have seen a picture or two that I posted. I couldn't post all of them. For security purposes, but here's the border, barbed wire fence. I mean, I'm looking into Iran. It's as close to me as the top step here. And we prayed, we sang, and just prayed that God would do a wonder work there. So I would encourage you to find a nation and pray for that nation. Commit to praying for that land. I'm sure if you go out at the table here after our worship gathering, you can get more information about countries to pray for. Maybe adopt a people group. Maybe you say, I want to pray for the Azerbaijani people, or I want to pray for the people of North Africa, or I want to pray for the Syrian refugees, or whatever it is. I want to pray for those who are persecuted in Venezuela right now. Whatever it is, pray, adopt a people. Adopt a nation or adopt a people. Pray for the persecuted. The second thing is pray for proclamation, that the gospel will just continue to go far and wide, and that God would use the persecution of Christians for that great purpose. Pray for proclamation to go unhindered. Thirdly, be a proclaimer, even if it costs you. Be a proclaimer of Christ, even if it costs you. Join the ranks of the persecuted. People who are willing to tell the story no matter what. Join the ranks of those who are willing to tell the story no matter what. And be faithful to tell the story of this Jesus who is the agent of making all things new. Most chiefly seen because of his work at the cross. Friends, let me close right now and ask you to close with me. Our Heavenly Father, may we be a people who pray for the persecuted. We pray for them right now, women and men, boys and girls all across the globe who are suffering because of their faith in Jesus Christ. We pray for them to have endurance. We pray for them to remain faithful to the end. We pray for relief. And we pray the gospel will be made manifest, and that their suffering will not be in vain. And we ask, God, that you'd help us to rise up, even right here in seemingly so comfortable New Hope, Minnesota. May we join the ranks of those who tell the story, even if it costs us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you, dear ones. Take care. Have a great day.